Coming up on 5:45, time for the best 5 minutes of the day, and we've got connection. What do you know? Good morning, Jason.
Good morning. My phone rang 4 times yesterday, and I tried answering it every time, and you were not there. So
yeah, and every time I never heard the ring.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I mean, you do.
So what happened? You picked it up, and you talked, and you're like, nobody there.
Right. Yep. It's first my regular phone, then my cell phone, then my regular phone, then my cell phone.
Yeah. And so ultimately, I saw where the Chippewa County Sheriff's Department, in fact, there was a story at QOW about, phones down throughout the Chippewa Valley. So we were a part of that, but good to be connected with you again here today for the best 5 minutes of the day. And so I missed you yesterday, though.
Yeah, likewise.
Kind of get used to this, so.
Yep.
All right. Well, not much going on in the world, so I don't know what to pay attention to, you know. So
that's good. You know, it's nice when there's absolutely nothing happening around us.
Wow. It's crazy. Are we living out apocalyptic Bible times or what?
I don't know. I mean, there's people who've made that argument that that's what's going on. You know, I mean, if you look back through history, we've had definitely had times when there things seem to be in much more chaos than other times. But
on the other hand, I mean, every day you're closer to the return of Christ than anybody's ever been. And certainly in terms of technology, right? I mean, this connectedness between everything in the world.
Yeah.
So.
Right. You know, and I was thinking about that actually last night. You know, in the past, we just didn't know what was happening far away, you know, and now we know what happens on the other side of the globe within, you know, minutes or hours.
And you've got drones that are involved, and you've got, you know, the U.S. now has a space force, and, you know, to what degree is a future world war going to be battled out there? And who knows? I don't know. But
who knows?
You know, in terms of the ancient words, I mean, of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I mean, running to the Lord, trusting in him, leaning on him, that makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, because it's all confusing.
Mm-hmm. And love makes sense. Choosing love makes sense.
Yes, yeah. I think that's something we could spend the rest of our lives pressing into understanding what that means, and I hope to do so.
I'm tempted in terms of a little different political lane because, you know, as I struggle with ADHD, I can see, you know, squirrel and rabbit.
Yeah.
But I'll maybe suck it up and just keep going here. So we've got some scripture today, which is Acts chapter 9, verses 3 through 7.
And that says, as he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one.
And in your devotional commentary on the entire New Testament letters of the beloved, you tackle Acts 9, 3 through 7 this way. As he approached Damascus, I sent a bright light that flashed all around him. My spirit knocked Saul off his feet, and my son said to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He replied fearfully, Who are you, Lord? My son replied, I am Jesus, the one you've been persecuting. Now get up and go into the city where you'll be told what to do next. Paul had been traveling with others, but they saw no one, and although they heard my son's voice, my spirit did not grant them understanding. Last paragraph. There are times when I reveal myself, but not everyone understands in the same way. That's okay. Listen for what my spirit is saying to you. Final thought.
Yeah, I think this idea that, you know, the spirit will speak to each of us, right? But sometimes what I'm hearing may not align with what you're hearing, and I think that's where the importance of conversation, engagement, community becomes so important.
And I think about, I often in the back of my mind will think about Jesus's words right in the gospel where somebody asks about, he's like, what is that to you? You know, right?
Right?
I mean, it's like, that's between me and them. So,
right. Absolutely.
But what an extraordinary story here. I mean, who would have imagined back in those times that it would be this Paul, who would become a Christian, become the leading evangelist, and some say the most influential person in the history of Western civilization.
Right. Yeah. Certainly Saul would not have thought that.
No, that's for sure. All right. Thank you, friend. There we go, our buddy Jason Cann's best 5 minutes of the day.
And that's well struck, right field. Taylor back. Out of here! Two reels done it again, and we're tied at three. He swings and drives one out towards right center. Taylor back, and it's gone! Mitchell, a two-run homer, and the Brewers have the lead. It's 5-3, and this place has come unglued.
What a night in Milwaukee and American Family Field. Facing playoff elimination at the end of their season, the Milwaukee Brewers staged an eighth-inning comeback. Jackson Chourios slugged two home runs, including that game-tying one you heard again, audio courtesy ESPN. Then Garrett Mitchell stepped to the plate with a two-run moonshot to give the Brewers a 5-3 advantage. That was the final score as Devin Williams notched the save to secure the victory. The Crew will try to advance to the NLDS tonight as they will go for the series win, 6:08 p.m. first pitch with Tobias Myers on the bump for the Brewers. And Halvo, as we bring you into this, the stat that I saw for the Milwaukee Brewers last night is not since 1982, 20 straight playoff games, not since 1982 had they won a game when they were trailing going into the seventh inning in the playoffs. It had been since 1982, and they broke that streak, that curse, I guess, last night. It was incredible.
You know, there's been that vibe, and that documentary's out there on that season that got all the way to Game 7 against St. Louis. And so, hey, you need this one tonight, but hoping things are different this year.
That's your sports.
Everyday definitions of everyday words.
Let's define some everyday words for you. For instance, traffic lights. It's an apparatus that automatically turns red when your car approaches.
Swimming pool. A mob of people with water in it.
Everyday definitions of everyday words here in the WIB Wake Up Show. How about an alarm clock? A device that wakes you up just in time to feel more tired than when you went to bed.
How does it work that way? It's crazy. A diet. A period of starvation that ends with a feast of everything you tried to avoid.
I love this one. Everyday definitions of everyday words here in the WIB Wake Up Show. A bank. An institution that will lend you money only if you can prove that you don't need it.
Homework, a teacher's method of interrupting your free time.
Restaurant, a place where you pay extra for food so someone else does the dishes.
How about a smartphone, a device that keeps you connected to the world while disconnecting you from those next to you?
Oof. Everyday definitions of everyday words here on WWIB. Meeting. An event where minutes are taken and hours are wasted.
There was a great line in the that Brewers movie I was talking about. Harvey Keene, the Brewers manager, took him to the World Series in 82. And he comes in and he goes, just taken over for the previous skipper. And he's just like, first of all, I don't like meetings. And he's like, second, this meeting is over.
Love that.
Another one, elevator, a small room that moves vertically while people avoid eye contact.
And finally, here on the WIB Wake Up Show, everyday definitions of everyday words. Wallet, a magical object where money disappears faster than it appears.
Isn't that the case?
So you've probably heard about this on the news, a major strike by thousands of members of the International Longshoremen's Association on the East Coast, Halvo.
Yeah, that's right.
And the Gulf Coast as well.
Mm-hmm. And it's led to consumer panic buying of toilet paper, despite no direct threat to its supply.
So I didn't realize that people were panic buying toilet paper because of this. But again, sometimes people do odd things. And so social media posts show empty shelves at retailers like Costco. Again, the toilet paper section, fueling concerns of a toilet paper shortage and probably harkening back to not too long ago. Mm-hmm. Yep. Right, in 2020 when there was a toilet paper shortage and people like Matthew West ended up having to write songs about it.
Yeah, so what the experts are saying about the strike and its effects on products. For instance, toilet paper is mostly a domestic product and not likely impacted by this longshoreman strike.
So again, bottom line for that is you don't really need to stockpile TP. But also, again, what experts are saying, consumers will not likely see an impact from this strike right away.
Yeah, most holiday retail goods have already arrived from overseas.
Now, one place where you could see an impact in a certain fruit, bananas are likely affected by the longshoreman strike since most are imported.
What would we do if we had a banana shortage?
How would we make our splits?
Oh, what would we cut up and put on our cereal? Imported chocolate and specialty meats now could be affected.
And again, most retailers have made contingency plans already. So what they're saying is, you know, of course, it depends how long this strike goes. But there are some things that may be affected, like, you know, what Havel just mentioned, but others, especially toilet paper, where you should be just fine and your Christmas presents should be just fine. And hopefully there's some resolution to this soon. But no reason to go out and buy the 68-pack right now unless you have a really large family.
Bottom line, if you've got toilet paper,
I'm about to have a good day.
Going to be a good day.
Well, there are some things, Havel, that We splurge on, and maybe when we're feeling high on the hog, we splurge more. But even during difficult economic times, studies reveal that Americans still splurge on certain items, and we have a list of those items.
Yeah, for instance, one we mentioned earlier, toilet paper.
Get the extra ply. Get the extra ply. Treat yourself. During tough times, we still splurge on these things. Toothpaste. We like the good stuff when it comes to toothpaste.
You know, I'll be honest. At age 60, been through my pretty good teen, trying to take better care of it than maybe I have in earlier years. And so I get some toothpaste that some in the family may go, you're spending that? You know what? Yeah, I'm splurging on
cheaper,
toothpaste.
You know what? It's cheaper than high dental bills if you have to get any teeth removed or cavities filled.
Or maybe you went years without seeing the dentist at one point.
Yeah.
Not going to name any names. Toothbrushes. We splurge on those.
Things we splurge on even during tough economic times. Skincare.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Shoes as well.
Large household appliances.
See, some of these all seem to be smaller expenditures, and then it's like, nope, we want the good fridge, the good freezer. Laptops and computers, things we still splurge on even during tough economic times.
Anybody who gets an iPhone splurges on that.
Sometimes I feel like that's an annual thing. It's almost like you might as well lease the phone rather than purchase it, because every year they're going to have a bigger and better one. Coats as well, things we splurge on.
Pet food.
Laundry detergent.
Mattresses.
And finally, makeup. Things we still splurge on even during tough economic times.
There you go.
No judgment here. We're just reading the list. We've heard about Hurricane Helene. Obviously, we are far away from the affected area here in the Midwest, but hearing about many rising up to help, Halvo. And I think we might not realize just how much devastation there is out there, and found a little bit about how much rain actually fell. It's quite shocking.
Yeah, it really is. We're talking about 40 trillion gallons of water deluged the Southeast in just a week.
Now, 40 trillion gallons. Usually when we're talking about trillions, we're talking about like federal debt or something like that. But 40 trillion gallons of water, that's how much rain fell. This staggering quantity of rain is equivalent to filling an entire pro football stadium 51,000 times. That is the amount of water that fell.
That's crazy. That is absolutely crazy. Now, some Wisconsin connections to this, some XL Energy crews from around here headed out to Georgia yesterday because, you know, you've heard a lot about North Carolina, but 100,000 people in Augusta, Georgia, still without power, and some shelter dogs from South Carolina just arriving in Wisconsin. Some of those apparently going to be making their way to Eau Claire.
Wow. Wow. And again, thank you so much to those who are giving, who are serving, who are helping. I know our own Michelle, her son is a lineman, and I believe at Govan's Farm, actually, the corn maze theme is in honor and tribute to linemen as well, too. So many who are probably coming from the Midwest to help. And it always seems like in the midst of devastation and chaos and horrible things, we see heroic things. We see amazing things. And that's the story of this dedicated dad.
Yeah. Go ahead with it, Caleb.
So a devoted father faced a daunting challenge when Hurricane Helene disrupted his plans to attend his daughter's wedding. Refusing to miss this special event, David Jones embarked on a remarkable 5-hour trek on foot to reach the ceremony for his daughter, which was in Johnson City, Tennessee.
Yeah, despite the darkness, washed out roads and mud, Jones pressed on.
His marathon runner spirit kept him going as he navigated through Hurricane Helene's aftermath, even receiving a brief ride from a kind state trooper along the way.
And ultimately, after covering nearly 30 miles, Jones arrived just in time to walk his daughter Elizabeth down the aisle. That's amazing.
We have more details on this, and you'll see it in our WIB Wake Up Show Facebook group, hashtag best thing I saw this week. That's what will be shared tomorrow, learning more of the details that at some point, again, because of this horrible devastation, he only had the light of his cell phone to walk by through. And it's not just walking along a sidewalk or along a road. It's in the midst of this destruction, chaos, a daddy, his love for his daughter, 30 miles through hurricane wreckage to be there for his little girl. Amazing.
Yeah, it's really powerful. Hey, we've got this comment on the listener line we want to share with you this morning.
I just heard on the radio your kindness jar. I think that's the best idea ever I've ever heard you come up with. That people donate money and then you go out and give it to somebody, anonymously to somebody who's buying something. That is a fantastic way of proving the gospel of Jesus, that Christians do care. Thank you for doing that. I'd like to see that happen all year round, have that account, that got that jar open all year round. Thank you so very much.
Well, there you go. That's what October Connect Month's all about, that reaction, huh?
Yeah, thank you so much, John. And again, that is the goal. It's something where if sponsors come alongside this, if you are WWIB family come alongside this, this is something we'd like to have that kindness jar open, as you said, year-round. That is the goal. We never really know when we're trying something new if people will catch the vision, if they'll support it. But that's my hope and prayer. That's something where every month we could be doing a different act of kindness that's funded by our sponsors and by you. And so thank you so much again, WWIB.com/kindness. If you missed us talking about that, if you'd like to contribute or just see what we're planning, WWIB.com/kindness.